You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat base and average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
tip pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click! Click! Boom! I'm coming down on the stereo. Hit me on the radio. Click! Click! Boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're gonna like me if you throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday night right here on KLR and Radio America's Podcast Network, otherwise known as Chat Lives Matter Day around here. I am one half of the crew, Mr. Rick Robinson. He is not the other half of the normal crew, Mr. Dan Wright, because Dan is imaginary, Dan doesn't exist, whatever the hell the chat room wants to scream. But Dan is still essential, so he's not here, so we have the Amish.
It's been over a year.
I know, right? Actually, we might as well get the announcement out of the way, because we are making at least a temporary schedule change, and depending on how things go, it may or may not become a permanent schedule change. So, Just to freak everybody out for a second, next Friday will be the last juxtaposition. Just kidding. It's the last juxtaposition on Fridays, at least for a while. So, starting the following juxtaposition, we are going to move this. We're going to move Robinson and Horty. Because it's been over a year. At some point, I guess we might as well just redesign the graphic and be done with it. we're going to move that show to every other Wednesday, and then we're going to put juxtaposition on in the 10 o'clock Eastern time slot on the Saturday, Wednesdays that we don't do Robinson and Horty, because I'm having to cut back and make some schedule changes. Also,
because looking forward in the future, every holiday in 2021
is a Friday.
Seems to fall on, not just that, but seems to fall on a juxtaposition Friday. Because after this next one, the one after that is Christmas. So, we wouldn't be doing a show then. Then, okay, so if we skip a week, nope, we're in New Year's. That doesn't work. And then you go forward and forward and forward, and then a lot of the holidays next year fall on a juxtaposition Friday. So yeah,
it's 2020's final shot to fuck with us some more.
Right. So. Yeah, because we were looking at, God, that sucks. We're only going to be doing one this month because it's Christmas. Oh, well, shit, we can't do it the week after. Well, for many reasons, but also it's New Year's. Ah, shit. Yeah, so, so that's happening.
So, yeah, that is happening. So, next Friday will be the last juxtaposition on Fridays. Don't panic. Other than that, lots of crap going on in the news, and I don't know. I'm kind of hitting that burnout point again because it's like November 3rd version 23.2. I'm over the election, dude. I'm done. Just give it to Kamala, and just let us get through the next 4 years as best we can, and pray to God that it's a rehash of 76 to 80, because that's history doesn't repeat itself, but it does often rhyme, and this feels an awful lot like I'm starting to get the bad feeling this is going to be an awful lot like the Carter administration.
So all we need is for Biden to scold everybody about the malaise the country is in,
and tell us to wear a sweater.
We're going to tell us to wear a sweater. Yeah. Good. And because we already had that in California when not even before Newsom, when Brown said we were a bunch of freeloaders because we didn't want another dollar a gallon fuel tax. So, we're the freeloaders.
Yeah. I'm thinking you're the freeloaders. You're the one taking my money, you mother.
Right. No, and it's like, okay, look, I've said this on many shows. I firmly believe that there was election fraud, just because I'm a math and science guy. And for the first time ever, all of the bellwether counties were wrong. I'm not buying it. It violates so many rules of mathematics and statistics, and it just can't be. Now, here's the thing. Shit or get off the pot with it. Now, I say that because there's certain things that need to trigger before you can contest an election. One, it needs to be certified. So a lot of these states have been holding off on their certification until the last possible minute, trying to draw this out, because you can't actually request a lot of things until the election's been certified. Otherwise, what are you actually contesting? So that's been the holdup, that the states are fucking around, then the legal teams are fucking around. And the legal teams, I don't know if – I mean – you've done so well with other things. Why are you being so insane with some of this shit? Soros is not behind every bush. Stop it. Just present the facts. Don't make some global international conspiracy out of it. Just present the damn facts. There, I've gotten off my soapbox.
Why? Your soapbox is so much fun. I know. Besides, you make your own soaps. Are you sure it's in a box? The same.
Well, I stopped using that blue stuff because it affected everybody's mind.
Nice.
Obscure Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reference. Yes.
I got it. I was actually about to say something, then I had to yawn, so I muted myself. I was nice, though. I yawned, but I muted, so you didn't hear it. And then I heard you sipping and realized I didn't bring a drink back here with me, damn it.
Damn it. Well, that's what... So
that's all right.
I know, what's going on, man? How you doing?
So probably what will happen is there will probably be Scotch joining me next hour. Just because it's been one of those months, and it just started.
Scotch, the brownest of the brown liquors.
You know, I've made an interesting discovery. Scotch is kind of a new alcohol for me. JD actually introduced me to it when we went to CPAC, because my dad's always been a bourbon guy. And, you know, bourbon, to me, always tastes better cold. Last night, I figured out I actually like the taste of scotch better neat than with rocks.
Yeah, but it's something you have to grow into. It's like, you know, when you start with blends before you get into single malts, and then you start to find yourself finding the peatiest of the single malts. And it's a process. It's not something you can just, you know, you can't just go from,
you know,
cheap scotch to really good scotch like you can from cheap vodka to really good vodka. There isn't much of a difference. In fact, a lot of people don't know that the same process that you pay for the Tall Blonde, one of the most expensive vodkas there is, Smirnoff does that too. So you're really just paying for the bottle.
Oh, no. See, so there's the thing. Having a, well, former sister-in-law who was Polish, there are really good vodkas out there, because if you do vodka right, it's kind of like, what is that? Damn it, I can't think of the name of that liquor that everybody talks about that you can't taste, and they like mix it with shit and then you don't realize you're drunk. But I can't think of the name of it.
That's
now.
Vodka.
And this is one of the reasons I miss having this particular sister-in-law, because that was my Christmas present every year, was a Polish vodka that they flavored with honey. And it was the smoothest, best vodka I've ever tasted. I was like, holy crap, every other vodka that I have ever drank tastes like paint thinner compared to this. And she's like, that's because it was.
There's, it really was. I mean, there's Polish potato vodka, and then there's actually a potato vodka from Idaho that I'm drawing a blank on the name for right now that is absolutely fantastic. I know, Idaho potatoes, who would have thought it? But, but getting back to, yeah, once you start to get on the scotches, then into the good ones, then neat is the way to go. But if you're still doing, like, you know, even if you're going Johnny Black instead of Johnny Red, cut it with some ice. Do yourself that favor.
Well, no, actually, what is it? I'm still doing, because I can't afford single malts. They're expensive. But I did find, yeah, I did find a really good blended scotch, Chivas Regal 12-year.
Chivas is fantastic.
I really, really
for
like
it. For blend, it's...
Yeah, for blend, it's really good. And also, without ice, it's even better, because I was like, man, there's so much more.
Sure.
There's so much more of a flavor profile when it's not cold. I don't understand.
And also when it's not getting watered down.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I even have Cold Stones, and I kind of prefer it without those.
Okay. Sure, I can see that. Like with anything else, alcohol starts to evaporate at room temperature. So you are getting a lot more of the essence and flavors, and yeah, okay, sure, I'm with you.
But anyway, so I guess enough of us talking about alcohol, because now I really do want to go get some scotch. Damn.
So, oh, yeah. Anyway, what else did you have in mind for tonight?
I actually hadn't really had a chance to look at too much of anything, because I was producing for G earlier, and then I ate some dinner, and didn't really turn on much TV. I take that back. I didn't turn any news TV on. I actually found a Larry the Cable Guy special from 2020 that I watched on Netflix, which was kind of cool. But yeah, anyway. So let's see. What else is going on?
Well, CNN is... tripping over itself, trying to make being a reporter illegal. Okay, hang on. I got to handle this.
Say
chat.
What?
Okay, hang on. The blue soap reference was from the fifth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they were in the mainframe, and everybody was using the blue soap that kept them docile and keeping them from realizing that they were actually in a simulation. So that's where the blue soap reference was from. Okay, so back to CNN. Chat was confused by the blue soap reference. So back to CNN. Yes, CNN is trying to claim that what Project Veritas did in releasing the tapes of Jeffrey Zucker with his senior editorial staff and directing what was real news and what was going to be fake news and a whole bunch of embarrassing stuff for CNN. They released. So CNN is saying, this might be illegal. You know, we, you know, legal experts say this is illegal. Who? Jeffrey Toobin? That's your legal analyst. It's called reporting. Somebody on your staff gave the group phone number call in to Project Veritas, and they recorded it much the same way that you released the tapes, the anonymous tapes of Meliana's phone conversation, the way you released Trump's taxes. And it's called reporting, guys. Look into it. It's not illegal.
I had a feeling that's where
it's not like how, it's not like how, God damn, I'm drawing the blank on his last name. Pierce, the smug British fucker.
Pierce Morgan.
Pierce Morgan. It's not like how he got his start with hacking cell phones from Sky News. This was actual legitimate reporting. Somebody was a source and gave them the information. Ergo, it was a leak. The thing that CNN has thrived on the last 4 years.
Oh, man. No, I had a feeling that's where you were going with this. Stacey actually talked about that a little bit this morning, and I'm just like, And I actually saw a little bit of one of the, because I guess it's like going to be either a weekly or a nightly thing on Hannity, because they have like hours and hours of this material.
They do.
So
this went on for weeks.
I have a feeling it's going to wind up being part of Juicy Bits this week.
Yeah, yeah, and I, you know, I want them to release the best stuff first, so that way everybody's anxious for the rest of it to trickle out. But, yeah, I just, you know, dump your purse out on that stuff and let it all fly out there, and, you know, let them try to spin it. You know, how it isn't as bad as it sounds, because it sounds pretty bad.
Well, yeah, one of them was basically the head of the whole thing telling people to make up a fake news story.
Yeah.
I was like, what, huh? So you've really, really.
Yeah. It was like Wag the Dog, that movie. You know, we'll invent a news story, you know, the tail wagging the dog. Invent a news story to cause this thing to happen. Yeah, literally fake news. Actual fake news. Sorry, Ron.
Nice.
And for those of you who are new, 2 years ago, Ron used to flip out if you used literally incorrectly. He has made peace with that.
He had no choice.
He really didn't.
Because it became a nightly game. Let's see how many times we can make Ron's head explode. I probably should have sent him a lifetime supply of duct tape.
There you go.
Because that was even during my stint. That was even during my stint on KOKC, and I knew he was listening, so I would do it over there too. And he'd be texting me, "I hate you. I just hate you." Oh man. But yeah. So that's happening. So does CNN realize they're basically trying to get rid of their own jobs when they try to make reporting illegal?
I mean, it's. It's another one of those, it's okay when we do it things, you know, when we do it, that's fine. But don't you dare call us out for when, you know, we try to squash. It's just like the hall monitor. You know, it's a perfect example of that. Borat. Remember when he tried to get people deplatformed and then he got deplatformed on Facebook? He had a post about his new movie pulled or silence or something like that, and he got really mad. It's like, well, I didn't mean me. I meant you silenced them, not me. No, equal rules across the board, pal.
Silence.
You created this monster.
Silence for thee and for ye, sir.
Mm-hmm. Oh, GR, man. You really got to watch past the first two seasons. It did get good. It got a little hokey for a little bit, but it got good.
What are we talking about?
Shield.
Oh, yeah. See? That was another one of those shows where I was like, okay, I'm going to watch it because, you know, I like it. And then it went weird. Then it got okay again. Then it went super weird. Like, speaking of which, I'd forgotten about that until you brought it up. I remembered the Blue Soap reference and I knew where it came from, but I forgot it was how they kept everybody docile when they were in the Matrix version, whatever the hell that thing was.
Right.
But the funny thing is, one of the shows that we used to make fun of on Sci-Fi, because they got rid of the good one and kept that one, Killjoys. They had an entire season where it was basically the same thing, except the only difference is they weren't actually in any type of a network or matrix, but they were basically they had to use this goo soap stuff every so often, or they would remember that they weren't actually who they were being told they were. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, I think I've seen this before.
Yeah, we've done this bit on another network.
I've seen this before. But yeah, anyway.
After they canceled Dark Matter, I didn't watch Killjoys. I was so mad that one got to stay and the other one had to go. But
I watched it, but only because it had Jinxie in it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And then, honestly, sure. I think that the trippiest thing for me was realizing that the dude that played his brother on Killjoys played a gay firefighter on something else, and I'm like,
isn't that actually his real brother, though?
No, I don't think so.
Let me check real quick. I think it is.
That would be like Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger being actual twins.
maybe not. Because I know Aaron Ashmore does have a brother that acts.
Yeah, but no, this dude's like the dark hair, big
okay.
muscular.
No, not even close.
But yeah, so I was like, I don't know. See, that's the weird thing about actors, though. It's like, are they all poly? Because it just seems like they can, like, it's like they don't care who they kiss. I'm like, ew.
God, it's like his twin. Anyway, I was just looking to see who his brother actually was. I'm like, wow, okay, they actually are twins. Anyway. So, I guess that's a sign of a good actor is that you can just, it doesn't matter. You know, it's a role. It's not who you are.
Yeah, but I don't see, that's like tonight, my wife is showing me a couple of her friends on Facebook, and it's like one of her girlfriends from work's boyfriend is hanging out with one of her longtime friends, and apparently they got so drunk that they're taking pictures, and one dude has his hand in another place, and my wife is laughing her ass off, and I was like, what? That's not funny. She's like, that's hilarious. I'm like, that's just gross. That's not funny. Ew.
Yeah.
And then again, I got told I needed to take the stick out from my ass.
Well, maybe you do.
Probably.
I don't know. It doesn't bother. You know what I think the reason why it doesn't bother me is because they do it specifically to shock me, and I'm not shocked.
Well, it's just...
I can't remember what show I was watching the other day where they like made... it was some Hallmark Christmas movie, and they made a point of having the, you know, zooming in on the two guys holding hands like some shock value, and I'm all, this isn't shocking, guys. You know, stunning and brave. Congratulations. Mazel tov. Whatever. I don't care. You know, and it's just like, it doesn't, a lot of times it's there just to shock you, and I don't let it, because then I'm falling into their preconceived notions.
Don't get me wrong. It didn't shock me. I was kind of surprised that my wife found it humorous, because I'm chalking that one up to the change again, because that was not something like, she would have found humorous before.
It's like, no, that's funny. No, that's rape. So, I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway. Okay. What else? Oh, God. I talked about this briefly with Brad on Monday. My fucking governor. My state elected officials.
Do we have to?
No, okay, no, we'll skip past it. We'll stick with sci-fi.
No, it's fine. Go ahead. I was just messing with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just the... They keep getting caught going out to dinner. It's like you got the mayor of San Francisco. You got the mayor of San Jose. You got the mayor of Los Angeles. You got the governor of the state. You got all the health officials that say all of them are all going out to dinner as they tell us that, no, I'm sorry, you can't visit your grandmother who is dying because you'll kill her.
So that was the other thing that really drives me crazy, right? So, you know, in a lot of places like your state, you couldn't have Thanksgiving dinner. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. But you could go out for Black Friday.
Right. Yeah. And that's
Not
only can this not only is this virus woke and can tell time, but it also can tell whether you are spending your money in a restaurant or at a Walmart. Actually, GR, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still on Netflix, but Disney Plus is definitely worth it for The Mandalorian. You could binge that whole thing in a couple weeks and not pay for, and just pay for 1 month. Sorry. But yeah, so yeah, apparently this virus can tell how you're spending your money to, where you are actually, and the elevation at which you're sitting. Because if you're standing, you should be wearing a mask. But if you're sitting, you're below the COVID level.
Yeah, let's not forget.
COVID hangs out, yeah.
Let's not forget that the 4 feet from the door to the table is going to kill you.
Yes. Yeah.
You're all going to die without a mask, and it's a 4 feet from, yeah, I don't.
And we talked about this at the beginning. If there's anything that is going to make it impossible when there was a second wave that was going to make it impossible to get the public to comply was political fuckery. And here we are. Everything we predicted, you and I predicted, Foo, Stacy, everything all of us on KLRN predicted back when this started, just because we're students of human nature. If you continue to fuck around like this, people are not going to comply next time. And here we are, restaurants declaring themselves autonomous zones, some of them naming themselves the French Laundry, because apparently it's okay to eat at the French Laundry. I mean, that's where the governor ate and the mayor of San Francisco. And, you know, you're just begging for open revolt.
It's, I swear they want us to start shooting people.
Yes, probably.
I mean, and look, guys, I'm not making light of the virus, and I don't literally want anybody to start shooting people. You're welcome, Ron. But sorry, I blame Morty. He brought it up. But I'm tired of being told what to do. The government's job is not to tell me what to do. The government's job is to give me the ability to have the freedom to decide for myself what I wish to do, and have a very minimal framework in which to do so. And I am really tired of this whole nanny state idea. Like, I just saw, I don't remember where it was, Stacy talked about it this morning, but somebody tweeted out something, and it just made me want to throw something at my monitor, because they're like, finally, Dr. Jill Biden is going to be the mom that America needs.
Yeah.
I have one of those. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, me too.
I don't need another one. Well, technically I have two, because my dad remarried, but still.
Sure.
So I guess I don't
and
need
And you have a mother-in-law.
Well, yeah, so that would be three. Okay, I don't need four.
All right. Especially one who doesn't even know my middle name.
What makes
you
feel
good
about
it?
You can't be mad, yeah. Well, I mean, you know. I mean, you can't really be my mom when you're mad at me if you're not yelling out my middle name, too. It's just saying.
Right. And Clint Eastwood was the mayor of Carmel, which is south of San Jose. It's actually south of Monterey. So Ron was asking in chat if wasn't Clint Eastwood the mayor of San Jose.
Do you know the way to... Oh, sorry. My bad.
Okay. I'm going to say it again. Helix, the TV show.
Yes.
Used that song
a lot
to pure effect. The creepiest use of that song ever. I think the only thing that would have, it was like if they had used it in the Pulp Fiction rape scene, that would have been as bad though as when Helix used it. Because if you're not familiar with Helix, it's a zombie. Before the zombie outbreak was really big on TV, Helix was one of the first ones, but it was more with like rage zombies from a virus, so more of a Resident Evil kind of thing. And in the creepiest scenes, Do You Know the Way to San Jose would be playing.
Yeah, they were good at that. And that was another one of those shows that started off really, really good, and then you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, and they did it within a season, too, because the first two seasons were great. The third season, they're somewhere else, and then there wasn't a fourth season. It's like, finish the fucking story.
I hate that, dude. That honestly should be, and if I was able to do it my way, that would be what I would do. I'd be like, okay, you can put together the pilot and then see if they're going to take it. But if they take it, then they say they want it, then you have to go back to them with a completed story arc Bible and say, this is where we're going to start, this is where we're going to end, take all of it or I'm shopping it somewhere else.
Exactly. And that's the way it shouldn't be, season for season renewal. If your story arc is going to take three seasons, then you have committed to three 10 or 20 episode seasons to tell the story and be done with it. And that's the way it should work. And that's the way I think, now that we're moving off of network television and more towards streaming, I think you're going to be seeing more of that, because they're not depending upon advertisers. I mean, yeah, the fasts are, like IMDb and Hulu has ads, but you can also, you know, pay the premium to not get them. So they don't have ads. And if they do, they're advertising their own shit. So, and similar shows to what you're watching. So that's good. But as you move away from advertiser-driven television, then I think you will see complete story arcs being told.
I hope so. And that's the other thing, is I really, really hate investing my time into a show, especially when there were like 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 episode seasons. And then you really get into it, you start figuring out the characters, and then you get, well, the ratings weren't high enough, we're not bringing it back. I'm like, you bring them back long enough to tell the story. That's all I want you to do.
Shove them off on another network. And see, that's what never made sense to me back in the early days of NBC's acquisition of Sci-Fi Channel, is that, okay, they got Sci-Fi USA and the NBC networks. And then they would throw sci-fi shows on all three of them. And you'd get like Terra Nova and some stuff on USA and other and then, you know, they wouldn't be good enough for those two networks, so they just outright cancel them rather than move them to where they should have been in the first place on the Sci-Fi Channel and let them thrive there, because they're not showing them to their audience on regular network television.
Yeah,
and I get that this was, as I'm talking this through, I'm realizing that that was also before things like USA and Sci-Fi were on basic cable packages. That was when they were still on premium cable packages. So I get it, but still, you fucked it up.
Well, I mean, not only did they fuck that up, when they bought them and they changed the I's to Y's, which, fuck you. Secondly, they started doing all these cookie-cutter reality shows, and then they were putting all the stuff that should have been on their network on other channels, then it didn't fly over there because that's not what people tuned into those channels to watch in the first place. That's like the show Colony that was on USA. That should have been on Sci-Fi from the jump. It had really good characters in it. It had really good actors in it. It had one of the dudes from, what the hell is the name of that show from Lost.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It had him in it, and there. He reminds me of Antonio Banderas, but I can't think of his name right now. And he was in it, and some other people from some other shows that I've watched were in it, and it ran for like three seasons, and it would have done so much better if it was on somewhere like Sci-Fi, I think.
Sure.
Because, you know, that's what people tune in over there to watch, and that's honestly part of the reason why I stopped watching Sci-Fi. If I want to watch reality TV shows about people doing makeup and stuff, then I can go watch that on any other fucking channel.
See, okay, you know where Face Off would have been fantastic is on USA.
Exactly.
And same with the Jim Henson Project. Those would have been great on USA because that is USA. I mean, USA is kind of the bridge between NBC and Sci-Fi. So I think that would have, anyway, yes, but it really had no place on Sci-Fi Channel. Ghost Hunters did.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand
wrestling
that
never
one.
Did.
Yeah, I still don't understand why the hell they put wrestling on Sci-Fi Channel. But NBC's parent company is currently in a dispute with Dish, so I don't have half my NBC channels right now.
Yeah, I noticed that today. Even the CW. The CW is off Dish right now, too.
Oh, see, now that I didn't know. CW app, here I come. There are at least a couple of shows I watch over there. There's one I've been trying to watch. It's called Pandora. It's bad. It's bad.
What's that on?
CW.
Okay.
I talked about it last year on this very show, actually, and was making fun of their season finale because it looked like whoever put the space battle scenes together was on crack and something else, because they were just completely incongruous to everything. I'm still trying to watch it anyway, just because I've kind of invested a little bit into the story, and besides, it's one of those things where half the time if I turn it on and I can't sleep, It fixes that problem. I don't have that problem anymore, thanks to the other stuff that I've been taking, but it was something that used to help me sleep if I couldn't, because it's just that bad. Another one I've been watching from over there that's... It was kind of weird at first. I honestly thought it was going to be like a spinoff of The 100, because it was a show called The Outpost, and they talked about Black Bloods, and that's actually... On The 100, they had the Night Bloods, because, you know, they're able to absorb radiation in their blood, so the additive that allows them to do that turns their blood black. So when they first started talking about Black Bloods and they had a show called The Outpost, I thought it was going to be a spinoff. Turns out it's like some like middle age kind of thing where there's like demons and dragons, and it's been kind of interesting. But again, CW cheese. They can't really seem to get away from that. But the only thing they ever did well was at least decently well was the DC universe, and that seems to be slowly dying. So.
Yeah, I've made fun of it, but I can't dispute the numbers with the Arrowverse. I really can't.
Yeah, I mean, I think where they started going wrong with it was when they started trying to use Supergirl to go woke, and they went broke instead. Because that was when they started. That was the other thing. I don't know what their plan was, but I know at some point they were going to have a transgender character on there. I'm pretty sure the person who was playing the transgender character wasn't transgender, and you know that pissed off everybody on that side of the argument. If I was right, I mean, you know, unfortunately, working in the gay district in Oklahoma City for 20 some odd years, even as a straight man, I've developed gaydar, and I was like, I don't think that's a transgender. Just saying. But anyway,
you want to go to break real quick?
Yeah, might as well.
Or you want to just skip it?
I was going to say, we only got 20 minutes left. We might as well just hang tight.
Oh, let's run through it. I just want to interrupt real quick. I just saw somebody just brought to my attention the talking earlier about restaurants in open revolt. The Max Public House, the guy that declared himself on autonomous zone, there is currently, just from what I can see from the helicopter, about 300 people outside of it in support, just surrounding the cop cars. And so this is like the good kind of protest, I guess, where they're all just standing outside while, you know, the bar. I'll post that in chat real quick. But this looks like a few hundred people out here. See, now this is positive energy protests.
Yeah, but that's why nobody's supposed to do. That's why nobody's talking about them, because they're positive energy protests.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I don't know if I got to talk about it last week. One of the things I watched recently is What We Left Behind, which is a Deep Space Nine documentary, and I saw it on YouTube. It was free, and it was really good. And there was a lot of things, you know, they're just kind of checking off, just as example, you know, social issues that they touched on. And, you know, it's like, you know, positive black role models, check, you know, positive father figure, check, and so on and so forth. And then when they got down to homosexuality, they didn't really give themselves the check, because they, and what bugged me with it was, and I never got this vibe, but they said it was obvious. It must've been obvious to everybody but me, but they said that Garrick was obviously gay, and I didn't get that. I think that's revising history.
No, it is, because he actually, he actually had a thing for Gul Dukat's half-Bajoran daughter.
Right, and she was in love with him, too, so I don't know if that was an unrequited love thing or whatever. But, and they were talking about, we really should have explored his relationship with Bashir, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I know you guys wrote the show, but I'm not getting this vibe. And help us out, Chad. Did anybody ever get that vibe watching Deep Space Nine? Because I never got it.
No!
If it was intended, it was so goddamn subtle, compared to the brick to the face that was Jadzia making out with her ex-wife. In one instance of LGBT, they're using a machete, and then the other one that they're claiming is a scalpel. It's a laser scalpel.
Dude, that's not even a scalpel. They're like tickling your nose with a feather. I mean, because
I never got that vibe out of it. And, you know, like, you know, being in California, I think I've got a pretty good gaydar going. And
I mean, come on. If Bashir was hooking up with anybody, it was O'Brien.
Right. Right. So, yeah. Yeah, I never got that out of the show. But it was a really good documentary, but that one I'm calling bullshit on that one. I think you guys are trying to put woke into where there wasn't before.
Yeah, no, you're boldly going where woke's never gone before.
Right. I've never known them to retcon gay into a series, but yeah. So, yeah, especially like I said, when they were so obvious when they were trying to do it with the Jadzia character.
Yeah, so. When they were being obvious about it, it was pretty obvious. And there's, I mean, look, you can try to do revisionist history all you want. I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well just say, well, Garrick was obviously polyamorous because he had a thing for Bashir and he had a thing for Goldacott's daughter. I could have bought that, but don't come out, well, Garrick was obviously gay. Really? Because he was, like, really hot for that chick for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just because he's a tailor, don't make it a stereotype.
I know, right? That's the other thing. So, you know, not all men that are tailors are gay.
But it was a very good documentary, and they did kind of tell the story of this was done at a Star Trek convention in Vegas, but they got all the producers and writers into a room and they said, okay, we're doing the seventh season pilot. And they were just kind of doing it. If they had another season, what they would have done with it. And what they did with it was actually really cool. So, but it was just the pilot episode. So you're like, oh, I want the story. And so, but yeah, it's worth a watch just for that.
So you want to know somebody else you can blame for election interference?
Sure.
CNN.
Obviously.
Well, no, I mean, it's even worse than I thought because this just came across my feed. Been out for about 6 hours. Somehow I missed it. One of the clips from Veritas was President Jeff Zucker of CNN downplaying the Hunter Biden laptop story. Obviously we're not going with the New York Post story right now on Hunter Biden. We're just not going to cover it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's obvious. And
then, of course, Ilhan Omar today tweets out cancel rent and mortgage payments. How about we cancel your salary instead?
I was arguing with Twitter commies all afternoon. And
see, I missed it, but I haven't been on Twitter much lately. Mind has been elsewhere.
Yeah, so what else you got?
I'm not sure. What else you got? I'm still looking.
I'm kind of not, you know what? I think that's, there's not, we got so used to there being so much in the news that there really isn't right now.
I know. It's just kind of, I was looking at the news cycle earlier. I was like, you know, other than the whole Veritas thing, there's not much to talk about right now. For once, which is weird, because it's normally, oh my god, there's so much, what are we going to talk about? There's not even much, I just looked, there's not even much trending on Twitter right now.
Mm-mm. No. I mean, Roger Stone, who cares? Even Rudy, what? So, it's pretty quiet. It's quiet out there in the Twitterverse.
All quiet on the Western Front. And
yeah.
Did you wake up Alexa? That sound like you woke up Alexa.
No, that was Outlook.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I even looked at the Blaze a minute ago. They don't even really have any juicy stories up right now. I was like, what is going on, man? I guess the...
Yeah, we have a show to do. Don't they know?
So, I guess the... Well, this one's actually fairly new. I guess Ivanka Trump got deposed in D.C. Attorney General lawsuit alleging misuse of inaugurals.
Okay.
The lawsuit claims the alleged scheme funneled money to the Trump family. Ivanka Trump was deposed on Tuesday as part of a lawsuit by the Attorney General's Office for Washington, D.C., alleging misuse of funds in the inaugural celebration for President Donald Trump. The deposition was revealed in a court filing documented by CNN. Yeah, sure. Are we sure they didn't create that? Just
right.
Already got caught downplaying one story and making up another one. Investigators claim that the Trump Organization, the Presidential Inaugural Committee, misused $1 million by grossly overpaying for space rented at the Trump Hotel, which led to the funds flowing directly to the Trump family. The filing also said that Inaugural Committee Chairman Tom Barrack was deposed in November as a part of the investigation. The lawsuit documented an email from former Inaugural Committee Deputy Chairman Rick Gates to Ivanka Trump about his concerns that... about his concerns that the media might make a big story out of the optics of PIC, Presidential Inaugural Committee, paying Trump Hotel a high fee. Also included in the lawsuit was evidence that the committee event planner Stephanie Winston Wolkoff had advised against the arrangement because of the $175,000 daily rate was twice the market rate for such space. Despite the concerns of both Gates and Wolkoff, the committee rented the space for 4 days of the inauguration at that higher rate. The filing said Wolkoff was scheduled to be deposed over the matter next week. On Tuesday, New York Times reported the president had discussed issuing preemptive pardons for his family members and close associates, not because he believed they did anything wrong, but because they were under attack. However, when the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, who was identified as one of those he might pardon, was asked about the report, he denied it and called it totally false. Later on Tuesday, the president appeared to tweet about the report. Pardon investigation is fake news. Whoops. Whoops. Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, you know. Okay. Talking about something that's real. Okay. Let's talk. Talking about the insider trading with the two Georgia candidates. Okay. It's not insider trading because they had their stuff. I mean, they have people for that. It's not like they're on their E-Trade going, oh, okay, we're going to, you know, I want to sell this. It's not, they don't even call their people to do that because it's in the blind trust. So it's the same. If they're going to make bones about that, then they have to make bones about Feinstein and Pelosi making money off of the COVID and making money off of the high-speed rail. And, I mean, it's. If you're going to open that can of worms, then you might as well just say all politicians, which I'm okay with, all politicians need to divest themselves of all investments while they're in office.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And that's it. Okay. So, oh, twice the market rate. Oh, well, what else was going on in the area at the time? You know?
Were there other things going on? Because, you know, it's not like hotel prices don't fluctuate.
Right. It's a supply and demand thing. So, yeah, it's just so goddamn frustrating how disingenuous the media is. Where when, you know, it, once again, it's okay when we do a thing. Where they just kind of poo-pooed off, you know, when... all the money that Pelosi and Feinstein and all the other California politicians made off the high-speed rail. But, you know, well, that's just, that's no big, it's in a blind trust. They didn't know that it was invested. Her husband runs the fucking hedge fund. Well, that doesn't matter. He runs a lot of companies. Okay, fine. But, oh my God, they made a profit during COVID. A lot of people did because we all saw the writing on the walls. Buy stock in goddamn Charmin because y'all nuts. Y'all buying up toilet paper like it's going to us. I'm going to get me some of that Johnson & Johnson stock.
Speaking of COVID, were you aware that during the Middle Ages they celebrated the end of plagues with wine and orgies?
Yeah, when do we start that shit?
I was gonna say, does anybody know if we got anything like that going on for the COVID? I could be down for some wine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some scotch. Anyway.
Yeah. So, what are you watching now?
Honestly, been watching a show on ABC called For Life. It's basically, and this is season two. It's a show about a someone who's wrongly convicted of being a drug kingpin and basically manages to get his law degree while he's in prison and actually becomes the cell block, basically the prisoner rep, and uses his access to people in there that had cases that were prosecuted by the same district attorney's office, uses those cases to prove a pattern of the district attorney being completely corrupt. It's been a really interesting show. Season two starting off a little bit different. Not going to give too much away because I don't want to, you know, I already gave you the meat of how it starts and why it starts. So that one, been watching that. What else are we watching? What is the new one on ABC? I think it's called Big Sky, isn't it? I think.
I'm not familiar.
Show out in Montana. It's show is supposed to be out in Montana. It's like the weirdest show ever. It looks like it's just going to be one of these little, you know, run-of-the-mill, you know, we're going to talk. Yeah, it's called Big Sky. Hang on. Let's see. We'll just pull it up on IMDb because then I'll just kind of read a little bit about it. Well, maybe, except IMDb is being weird. Usually it puts a synopsis out here somewhere. All right. But anyway, so yes, it's called Big Sky. It's on ABC. And so far, it's one of those shows that kind of just looks like it's going to be an everyday run-of-the-mill, you know, show about life in the country or something. Next thing you know, there's like all kinds of weirdness going on. But so far, it's been really good. Two or three episodes in, I think, right now. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like they're... Well, no, IMDb only has trailers, so I don't know. Let's see.
I did see IMDb is starting to produce their own content, too.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I saw that they've got one. I didn't catch the name of it. I caught the highlights of it when I was looking for something else the other night. It's about a teenage kid who's a spy for MI6. And they've already committed to two seasons, but it's on IMDb. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. I get everybody's starting to do their own content now. And
yeah, I mean, well,
bring it.
Well, the other thing is, you know, with NBC's parent company trying to, you know, put the screws to Dish, these bigger networks that are getting gobbled up by all these other companies, and then they're basically using that to try to leverage TV providers to pay them whatever the hell they want. They're killing their own industry.
Well, and, you know, it's like, okay, I think I know what NBC is doing. Is they're trying, because they are really trying to make the Peacock network happen. Because we talked about on the Culture Shift, they were supposed to have the Olympics to launch the Peacock network, which is their streaming service. And then they didn't get to have the Olympics. So they're kind of struggling getting people, you know, because without content, you know, like CBS All Access has Discovery and Picard. So they kind of have a draw to it. They have a reason to draw people, but they're in the middle of rebranding right now too. Peacock really has nothing, because what's NBC got? The Voice and, you know, their reality shows and maybe a couple other TV shows. So
Ninja Warrior.
Yeah. I think that they are, I'm being cynical in this, but I think that they're actually making, because usually when there's negotiations like this with Dish, the longest I ever saw was AMC. And they held off for 2 weeks into the Walking Dead season before they finally got Dish to come to the table. So NBC, I'm even being more cynical, is they could really stretch this out as long as they're trying to get people to jump on the Peacock network in time for Christmas.
Yeah. So, well, the other thing with Dish is eventually, if you keep trying to do too much, they're just going to walk away. Dish hasn't had HBO or Cinemax in over a year because HBO wanted too much damn money.
Yeah.
And that's
in fact, I remember I got a refund for that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, that's Dish's mantra. You know, if you wanna pay a really big price and get all the channels that everybody wants to rape you for, go to the other guys.
Right.
Because we're gonna do what we can to keep your prices low, and that means even telling these people we're not willing to pay what they're asking for to keep your prices low. And that's honestly one of the reasons why I've stayed with them as long as I have. Because, I mean, their technology's gotten fairly good. And remember, I used to work for DirecTV. I was actually kind of surprised how far Dish had come after working for DirecTV for so long, because Dish was the worst of the two for a very, very long time. In a lot of ways, they've become the better. But I think they're, you know, but DirecTV still has the higher end stuff like NFL Sunday Ticket. They're willing to go ahead and just kick channel providers whatever they want. They just pass the price on the price markups onto the consumer. And Dish is like, look, we know our market. We know that people use us that couldn't really afford to get TV any other way. And that's why we do what we do. And I mean, that's what they're putting all over Channel 4 right now. Is look, they're blaming us. Let us tell you what's really going on. They are taking, they're bringing us to the table and telling us this is our offer, take it or leave it. And their biggest selling point isn't even NBC. They're talking about WGN. And they're like, does anyone even know what's on WGN? They run a lot of reruns.
Yep.
And they have a new show that they put out for free on their website. And dude says that right on there. Said the, part of the biggest markup they're asking for is over WGN. And he says, does anybody even watch WGN? Because all it is a bunch of old show reruns and a news story, a news program that they just started putting out that they will give you for free on their website. And they're now wanting to charge us double for that channel. We're not willing to pay that. But yeah, so.
What? You're kind of breaking up. What?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. I don't know. I thought I heard something.
So what are you watching?
Oh, God, really nothing. I caught up on Mando. I like it. It's hard to enjoy it because of how much damage was done to the brand, where I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, it's kind of like when you're in an abusive relationship where it's like it started out so great and then you had 20 years of just hell, but you stuck with them and you don't know why. And then, you know, they start acting nice and you just okay, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I really want it to bring back Star Wars. I really do.
I mean, it seems to be doing it so far. I mean, that's the worst thing is, you know, when you look at the prequels and then you look at the sequels, I mean, the cartoon stuff that they were putting out was better than that shit.
Definitely. Rebels was much better Star Wars than, yeah. I mean, yeah, and like you say, there are too many streaming services, but here's the thing about it. This is what we've always asked for.
Yeah.
We've always asked for a la carte television. We've always said, just let me pay for what I want to watch.
And now we're starting to be able to.
And this is, we are in the, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Yeah, and, you know, like Crow just said, too, Mando has resisted the SJW's call to ban Rosario, and that's awesome. And they're not going to bend the knee. I really don't see him bending the knee, and I'll tell you why I don't see him bending the knee, is because Jon Favreau is a true fan and not like Kathleen Kennedy. If Kathleen Kennedy was involved, she would have been canned.
Yeah.
And Jon Favreau's attitude is, fuck it, I just want to tell a story. And he's doing a great job with it. And like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I, you know, it's just, I won't hit she again, baby, is what I keep hearing from it. But
I promise if you stay, this will be, I'll never hit you again. All right. Well, believe it or not, my friend, we are back around the top of the hour.
I don't believe it. You're lying.
Well, the clock's not.
Yeah.
According to my wife, I lie all the time, but that's another story. All right. So anyway, on that note, we are going to get out of here. We do have an Off the Rails coming up next. I think, and I say think because I haven't checked, I think there is a new Buffoon of the Week. Also have an announcement about the upcoming Buffoon of the Year. Because I has been asked to participate. But we'll explain that more in the next hour when we switch over to Off the Rails. Again, I am Rick Robinson. He's Ornie Packard, filling in for Dan Wright. Don't forget, I guess things will still be normal for the next week or so. Because we still got to get through the next juxtaposition. So there will be the regular Robinson and Horty here next week, and juxtaposition that week after, and then Well, that's going to be kind of weird because that's going to...
We'll play it by ear.
We'll figure it out. Because, yeah, it'd probably be the... I guess I need to look to see where we would be in the if we're going to be in the middle of the holiday schedule by then to figure out what we're going to be doing for that one for sure. But either way, we'll get it sorted out. But yes, coming soon, Juxtaposition now moving to every other Wednesday, especially for a good part of 2021 one way or the other because all the holidays are weird that year. But we're going to get out of here. In the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan, be excellent to each other. For those of you hanging out with me, we'll be making the switch here in just a couple minutes, so don't go away. Be right back.
Yeah, on the other side of the mic.